supporter of mine and of us and of what we do. And Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, online at daltonhydraulic.com. And they serve you worldwide from beautiful Granger County, Tennessee, home of the late, great A.W. Davis, who left us, unfortunately, earlier in the week. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. Worley has learned to lie like a starting quarterback, yes, Russell.
Nobody missed a beat when Nathan Peterman went in.
Right, Sean, that's what
business
he just said.
Business as usual.
Nobody missed a, he said nobody missed a beat when Nathan Peterman went into that game.
The only, I would agree that Nathan Peterman did not miss a beat from the Florida game last year.
Picked right up where he left off.
Exactly right.
You poor guys.
I mean, I saw Worley took that shot to his elbow. Did he take a headshot?
Listen to me. He, about Peterman. Because people were ripping the people on Twitter who were saying that he was ahead of Worley back in the summer. He really did, by all accounts, have a great summer, didn't he?
Maybe he's just the opposite of a gamer. You know, when the lights go on, it's...
He's the anti-gamer.
Yeah.
What would you call the like an anti-gamer?
Well, I tell you what I call him. I call him the game killer.
Sean. We're going
That's
back to
nice.
The phones, 865-200-5402. Mike is up next with us, and if you want to get in, one line available. Mike, hello.
Hey, Tony.
Yes, Mike.
Hey, yes, sir. I love your show. Hey, I called you last year one time, and I think I was a little might have had a couple more too many drinks when I called you.
Well, that's disappointing
anyway,
that you're calling me. You're calling me sober. You're calling me sober today. That's very disappointing.
Yes, sir.
I'm very disappointed in you.
Hey, I got your anti right here, Steve Alatorre, baby.
That'd
you know what I'm talking about?
That'd be a, sure. Jeff Oshevsky, Steve Alatorre.
Yeah.
That'd be a great question is where would Nathan Peterman be in the pantheon of Tennessee signal callers going in that direction just to have some fun with it? Because I feel sorry for him. That's a shame.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him. We're just going to
rip tell
him.
You what. Next person that tells me that Nathan Peterman is making strides in all this, I just seem to smack him and send him to the house.
But he did have a nice summer.
I don't ever hear that dude's name again. His name is even nasty.
Oh. Russell, didn't he have a nice summer, Russell?
I mean, maybe he had a nice trip to the beach.
Russell, didn't he?
7-on-7. Anybody look good 7-on-7.
That's a strange thing for him. I hate that for him.
Golly. Anyway, Tommy, here's what I got to bring to you. I cannot believe they did the onside kick there at the end, okay? I'm like, you got your three timeouts, kick it deep, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's over with. Okay. Is there any question that Worley's not the man as far as what we got? Okay, yes, he is the man. Okay. We're going to make some strides this year. I'm happy with the defense. I'm not satisfied with it, but I'm happy. We're running to the football. We got speed. And it's Sutton's a first-round draft pick in the NFL.
No question. Absolute star, okay. Stud, no doubt.
All right. Is everybody happy to finally see Cruz catch a football for once? I mean, the dude's a stud. Standing right there beside him. I was fortunate, you know, been watching practice. I'm standing right beside him, and dude is a beast. I'm so glad he finally got that catch. So maybe give him more confidence, and we can throw it to him more. And another thing, Marlon Lane, don't even bring him off the bench. Just leave him over there. And where's the I forget his name right now, the other freshman. Are we going to play him or
Darrell Scott?
Are we going to redshirt him?
Yeah, he just came back 10 days or so ago from his injury. And I think you'll start to see him. I think as he gets his legs under him and gets a little more comfortable in what they're doing, I think you'll start to see Darrell Scott. But, yeah, that was one of the things that Butch Jones talked about today is getting him available, getting him acclimated, when it was time to roll.
Yeah.
So. All right, man.
Anyway, brother, that's all I got for you, man.
Hey, great to talk to you. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I'll holler back at you.
Hey, have a great night. 865-200-5402. Russell Smith here today. He's with 94.3 FM. I thank him for coming down here and spending his time with us on this Saturday. Sean Sinclair, you can hear with me on Wednesdays. And we do this thing commercial break free, I should say, with you as we stay on three solid hours. Jason Swain's coming up in a few moments. Let's go back to our phones at 865-200-5402. And let me grab our next caller, who's Charlie. Charlie, hello.
Hello, Tony. I just wanted to tell you this is the greatest, the greatest show that's on right now. The state-run radio is like TP Talk on in the movie Major League. It's ridiculous. I just really have to give you a big compliment. Anyway, why did we stay with Nathan Peterman? I mean, the guy, he had a fiasco at Florida. He comes in, he has two fiascos here. I mean, you know, why not give Dobbs a chance? I know Worley, if he's available, is better, but my God, this guy's a deer in the headlights out there, and I just don't think he should play again. He has no idea what he's getting into. What do you think about that?
Would you guys have played Dobbs? Here's what I can tell you about Dobbs. Dobbs wants to redshirt this year. I think it's their intention to hopefully get him a little stronger and see if they can turn him into a quarterback here. I think the intention, though, is for him to redshirt. Would you guys have put Dobbs in that game at any point? Let's say that Worley wasn't able to continue and wasn't able to come back in. Russell, would you have let Peterman sit out there the rest of the day, or would you have gone to somebody else?
I mean, if Worley back when he had, I think you had to make a change at that point. But it's obvious that Peterman is showing them something in practice that's not translating over to the game.
That's right.
I don't know if Dobbs would have come in and led the team to victory or anything like that, but if he could at least, you know, keep the car on the road instead of just melting down the way Peterman's done twice now, then that would have been better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Well, another thing, Tony, if we'd have taken a safety down there, we'd have won the game.
If we'd have taken whoever's dogs, were in the background there, we may have won the game. Somebody's got some dog in them. You got some dog in you. I like that.
Yeah, but, you know, if we'd have just taken a safety on the goal line, we'd have won the game.
Isn't that an interesting – that's an interesting part, because if you do that, boy, you're really going to get heavily criticized if you do that.
I know, but we probably would have won the game. Anyway, thanks so much for your show, Tony. I really enjoyed it.
Hey.
Glad to have an alternative to you-know-who.
Thank you for the kind words. That's what we're here for. Thank you. Good talking to you. 865-200-5402. All right, Cinco, on the way out here, give me a couple final thoughts here, brothers. We look forward to the Florida game next week.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Russell and his wife for the new arrival in the household. That's always an exciting time. That's most important. I want to, in fairness, I want to give a shout-out to Devron Young. Because, you know, he's been heavily criticized, and I've been part of that. And I thought he had a nice game today. I thought, like we said, this was a winnable game. It's a work in progress. It sure is a heck of a lot better. Obviously, exciting at the end. They're getting blown out. And the thing that I'm noticing, whether you want to call it culture or whatever, you know, we really were behind the eight ball a few times here. And I didn't see our guys quit. I didn't see our guys. They kept fighting. We're getting more talented. And I think better things are coming up. So I don't like to win. I don't like to lose, excuse me. I don't like moral victories or anything. But we did take a step forward today, and that's getting to be a hard pill to swallow. But go Vols, and let's go get the Gators next week.
Thank you. Great talking to you. No question, Dr. Sean Sinclair. Check him out in beautiful Maryville. Excellent dentist. Great guy to talk football with as well. And just like that, Florida State is back 24-21 as they'll have the lead comfortably in that game. Jacoby Brissett, the former Florida quarterback, starting for NC State in that game and has thrown a couple touchdown passes himself. So let's grab Jason Swain if we can on four. Roger, would you let him know that? Let him know that we need to grab Swainy on four. And 865, can you hear the show out in the out in the green room? Can you hear the show out in the green room when you were out there, Dubsy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it loud and clear?
No,
little too loud?
It's audible, yeah.
Little too loud?
No, it's good.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to our busy phones and grab another caller here. George is listening to us today in Bucksnort, Tennessee. George, hello.
Well, I say, Tony, I guarantee to hear exit 152, Bucksnort, Tennessee, the application's live and well, son.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing okay. Let me ask you a question, Tony. How many times do you think today we hit a tight end? 5 times, it looked like.
Yeah, I think that's right. Let me look at the and I'll look at the tight end targets while you're talking, but go ahead.
Yeah, please do, Tony, because here's my deal. I want to know, when you start seeing a tight end coming across the middle that way, one of them was Helm, and of course, we all know our other man there has been always something seen as good blockers. But you know what? When you got good blockers and two boys with good hands, to me, I like to see the growth of that tight end position. I don't think we've thrown the ball that many times in a couple of years, Tony.
I think that's an excellent point. Now, Wolf did make 5 catches today for 69 yards, and he was the only tight end targeted, and I can only remember...
Didn't Helm catch the two-point conversion?
That's right, which counts.
Yes, sir.
Which counts, so that's six. Six,
there you go.
Six receptions.
Hey, there's your Bucksnort stab of the week, buddy.
How about that, my friend?
Tony, have a good one, guy.
Hey, you take care. That's a good...
They missed a pass to Helm, and they missed the one to Wolf where he didn't exactly put forth great effort.
So they had at least 8 tight end targets, which is a good number.
Yeah.
It's a good solid number. Now, with the offensive line as challenged as it is, that might become more of a fixture offensively. Let's get Jason Swain in here from Swain Event. You hear from him from 7 to 10, ladies and gentlemen, each weekday at 1180 a.m. and also on his website, SwainEvent.com, former Vol great Jason Swain. Swainy, all week you were saying Tennessee was going to be in this game, be in it to win it. And sure enough, man, that's exactly what happened. Give me your first thoughts before we mix you in with our callers as I welcome you here.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Tony. I thought Tennessee had a great chance to win. I really felt good about the game the whole entire week. I mean, look at the weaknesses of Georgia's compared to the strength of Tennessee, and even though Tennessee's offensive line struggled against OU, I really felt like Tennessee had an opportunity to execute some explosive plays and have a chance to win. And it comes down to those few plays in the SEC. And Tennessee is improved. There's no more victories. Tennessee lost the football game. There's no reason to be excited, start to streak through the quad. Tennessee lost. But you are seeing the improvement in this football program. And I'm really hurting for these players because I know for 2 weeks, they put in all the work to go down there and win. And I think they made a lot of plays to win that football game. They came up a little bit short. I thought the offensive play call was a B today. Against OU, I thought it was a C. But today, first drive was fantastic. I felt like Justin Worley could have attacked the middle of the football field early in the first half. Two balls that was thrown deep, where the safety came over the top. We had the safety off the hash, and we should have attacked the seam a little bit better. You guys are talking about the tight end, 5 targets, 5 catches for Ethan Wolf and 1 catch for Daniel Hamlin, 2-point conversion. You saw in the second half when Justin Worley returned to the football game, how effective we were when we hit the seam. Pig Howard scored a touchdown. Jason Kroom gets tripped up by the Les Miles grass, but he had a big play in the middle of the football field. And that's something I thought we should have did earlier in the football game, attacking the middle of the football field versus cover two. But you can't complain with the effort. You understand why Justin Worley was named the starter, and I just quite frankly laughed at all the people who felt like Nathan Peterman should have been the starter at the beginning of the football season. It's not even close. Justin Worley is the best quarterback on this football team and gives this football team the best chance to win. And you saw that when he left, and you saw that when he returned. Coach Bedrakian was handcuffed a lot when Peterman came into the football game. Peterman has a tendency to turn the football over, and that's exactly what happened when he entered the football game. So just tough. I mean, I got a text from DJ Shockley, he's a good friend of mine, won an SEC championship with Georgia, Georgia quarterback there, one of the greats. He texted me after the game and said, "Hey, man, Justin Worley plays, and if Tennessee does not fumble that football, Tennessee wins the game." And, it felt good coming from DJ, but at the same time, it's no more victories. Tennessee field loss, but you know the guys are getting close.
It's tough, man. It is, because, you know, you do what we do. And you know, the old saying is you can't put lipstick on a pig. We can't sit here and pretend like it's acceptable to lose that game today. But darn it, there's got to be a place to look at it. And I'm going to bring Jeff Brock in here now. Brocky, good afternoon to you. How you doing, buddy? Let's see, what mic are you on? Okay, I'm going to get you
I'm
right
on
here,
zero.
Brocky.
I'm on mic zero.
Mic zero, right where you belong.
That's right.
Brocky, as I bring you in to the family here and welcome back to our microphone, as we've got Jason Swain, Jeff Brock, that's Russell Smith, I'm Tony Basilio. Brocky, give me your first thoughts here, because we're not in the moral victories, but at the same time, boy, this football program, this team is really close. I mean, for what they have.
You know, it's easy to look at this from an angle that Georgia's won five straight times, the most, and I think it tied the most in the history of this rivalry for them, five straight wins. Tennessee's lost 10 straight SEC openers. They've lost 20 straight on the road against SEC-ranked opponents.
My gosh.
I mean, there's a lot of brutal things, but, man, it's – like Curious George, so far, so close yet so far away, you know, it's just, but they, man, at the end of the day, we're still doing too many things. We're making too many losing plays in the end. I mean, we just had a couple of three things that you just cannot do and expect to win in this league. But the talent's being upgraded, and that, to me, that was priority number one.
And the defense runs so well. The defense runs so well now.
They run well, and I tell you what, you guys have talked about it all throughout the show, is, hey, these guys play hard. They really play hard. They get after it. And the way I look at it right now, Basilio, as hard as it is, bittersweet as well, it was more bitter than sweet today, although they gave it a good effort, but it all boils down the next Saturday against Florida.
You got it, brother.
Because I tell you what, the effort and the improvement we've seen, even against Oklahoma and against Georgia, if we don't beat Florida, that goes down the drain as far as I'm concerned.
But you know what?
We've got to beat that bunch.
But you know what? You're in year two, and you're Jones, and you've come from Dooley's mess. And I know what you got. I know what you're saying. I'm with you. I hate them. Look, I'll tell you right now when it
comes
to...
They're no good, Tony. You got to
beat them. They're not any good.
That's right.
But we lost to them last year, and Georgia Southern went down there and clobbered them.
I know.
Vandy went down there and blew him out.
If Worley's right arm is attached to his body yeah. next week, there's no excuse to lose to those guys.
But you know what? You know what, though? I hear you guys saying that. Swain, jump in here. Are you going to go with them on that, on the Florida deal?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to lose that Florida game. I thought I heard your show yesterday, Tony, you guys talking about which win would be more beneficial. You know, you gave the question to the listeners, which one would they really have, and a lot of them said the Florida win. I thought the Georgia win would have been bigger for Tennessee because last year you got a win at home versus a really good football team, and you want to take a step forward this year. And doing that, getting a win versus a good football team on the road would have would have showed the world that hey, Tennessee's making that extra step, that step from last year. And Georgia, you know, beating Georgia on the road. You know, people on the outside looking in will give Tennessee more props. When Tennessee beats Florida, Tennessee's going to beat Florida unless they just absolutely give the football game away. I mean, no one's going to give Tennessee a lot of credit because Will Muschamp stinks. That Florida football team stinks. And people will try to downplay that win, even though it will be the first win in 10 years since 2004. But I thought the Georgia game was bigger than the Florida game. But, hey, it's a home game. It is a noon game. You have an opportunity to host some big-time recruits. Tennessee has some momentum, bringing in Shaw Tuttle, bringing in the other defensive end. The names slipped my mind, but you got two commitments over the last 48 hours, and hey, you're going to host some more recruits. So it's always a good opportunity to have a win at home when you have recruits there at the football game.
Yeah, I mean, think about that for a second. If you could have had Shaw Tuttle, Daryl Taylor, and a win over Georgia all in one fell swoop. The way we do things, Swain, he would have had a street named after him by the time he back to Knoxville tonight. Let's go back to our phones.
At least a sandwich. At a restaurant.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, hey, Brock, Swain gives our play calling. He said it was a C against Oklahoma. He gives it the B today on offense. What do you give it?
I'd probably C plus to B somewhere. I don't think it's as bad as you guys. I mean, when you...
There's just no offensive line.
Yeah, you
know, is the point. That's the point. Right?
That's kind of the point. I mean, I would like to see us go over the middle. I mean, Swain's a wide receiver, and he could probably explain this a little bit more, why we don't go over the middle a little bit more often than we do, because it's almost like we're in David Cutcliffe mode, everything outside the hash. But I wish we would go over the middle a little bit more. But I would, I'm not going to be overly critical of Bajakin because, man, with that line, I mean, you put points on the board, you're doing a hell of a job calling plays as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Swainy Sinclair was saying he'd like to see our offense, if you're going to get beat the way they get beat, our offensive line, at least punch, grab, kick, grab, tackle, try something to keep your quarterback clean. Is he right or wrong in that?
I mean, you look at Coach Bajakin, you look at the offense, and they made some adjustments. You know, first drive, you go split back, you got added protection. They go down and they have a chance to score a touchdown. Justin really misses the throw. They go wildcat to get more of a downhill running game. Coach Bajakin, the offensive staff, they made adjustments. Justin really missed two throws. One, a wheel route to Marta Lane that would have been a touchdown, and he missed a throw to Ethan Wolf, if I'm not mistaken, in the middle of the football field. That would have been a big game. So you had a chance to really go up 14-0 instead of 10-0. And really, at the end of the day, I think people need to ask themselves, do you expect Coach Bajakin to throw the ball too? Do you expect Coach Bajakin to check at the line of scrimmage and identify, hey, I only have, you know, six blockers, but seven guys are coming? You look at the offense coordinator, but I think we put too much weight on the play caller. When he's not throwing the football, he didn't throw those two balls to double coverage versus cover two. I give it a solid B. I think it's hard to really give him a worse grade than that, considering that offensive line being as young and inexperienced as they are. They improved from Oklahoma. You didn't give up five sacks, but wasn't great. It's going to be a problem all year. But I thought the offensive staff made some adjustments to help out the offensive line. I probably could have ran some more screens, probably could have dialed up some plays to attack the middle of the football field, talked to Justin Riley on the sideline, say, hey, man, look for the seam route. Hey, let's really focus on trying to get the ball to the middle of the football field. But, hey, your hands are tied when your starting quarterback, your MVP of your offense goes out and you bring in Nathan Peterman. And, you know, he wasn't as nervous as he was against Florida, but, goodness, he was definitely a downgrade. And not much you can do with a quarterback that's turnover prone and offensive line that can't protect the quarterback. And so those three possessions on offense really, really hurt. The defense, I think, played exceptionally well, giving offense two extra possessions. There in the first half, Tennessee goes three and out, backed up, and then we give up a big time punt return. You're basically giving Georgia points right there. Georgia goes down and scores 7 points and they start the game momentum. I thought the offense and special teams didn't do enough to help the defense. I thought defense played well today.
Gosh, Swain's putting on a clinic today. As we get ready to go back to our phones, 865. What are you charging for this, by the way, Swain? It's a clinic.
It's free for you, man. It's free for you.
Back to the phones. JM's up next with us. What's up, JM? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. You could add another line here, maybe bring in Bobby Scott and Will West. As many people as you got.
And co-op, co-op like seven shows at one time. I like
merge
that.
Merge every channel together, yeah. Hey, guys, is it not our luck to shut down Georgia's offense for like five, six straight possessions while Worley's out of the game? And then just as soon as he's ready to go back in, the dam breaks and Gurley takes one the distance. I'm just so sick of stuff like that happening.
At the very end,
you still have a little bit of a chance, and Gurley gets that first down by one dang yard. So I don't know. I get caught up in that little stuff, but it just drives me bonkers.
No, it's not little stuff at all. It's the stuff Swain and Brock are talking about, which is these coaches tell these kids, and when you play these Southeastern Conference games, it's literally five or six plays that determines whether or not you win. And you've got to do sound things in those five or six plays, or you're not. And if you go back today, the five or six for Tennessee are real simple. Worley's cross when he throws high on the first series, you hit that, you got 7 points. The wheel route to Hurd, you hit that, you got seven points.
We end up scoring a touchdown that drive.
On one of them, yeah. We got a touchdown anyway, right.
Yep.
But But the point is...
Well, the punt down to the one.
The punt down to the one is one. Obviously, the fumble in the end zone, you can't have that.
Oh, goodness.
And any number of a myriad of other things.
Well, the other fumble with Peterman in the lane. I don't know whose responsibility it was to take the ball there, but, I mean, you know, you're getting ready to go in the score, at least get 3 points.
To me, that's overcomplicating an issue when you've got a quarterback in a game that's not comfortable, but that's me.
Yeah, no, you know, but this level, Tony, you've got to, man, I'm not going to put it on the coach. You've got to go in there at least be able to run a dive play, you know?
I understand.
That's like their basic play. Did they not practice that every time out there? I mean, it's his second year. He started a game.
I bet they ran that play 1,000 times in practice, you know?
I needed you guys in here for my first segment to jump me. This is good. I need to be kept honest. JM, continue. I'm sorry.
I'm just so sick of, like, every fourth or fifth play just saying, oh, it's Tennessee football, you know. But next week we have a chance, in my opinion, to just exercise all of that. And I would like to see, like, the 95 Alabama game. We need that so bad. We're just so conditioned to just expect a bad bounce to go our way. And just these little plays that we're talking about that always go against us, it leaves me with a migraine after watching the game.
I totally agree. Let me paint a picture for you.
Hey, Tennessee can't afford for this to be a close game.
No.
We need to beat the crap out of them, man. Jump on them early.
Yes.
And make them like it.
This is what happens, though, when you break streaks. You kill people.
Yeah.
Streaks do not end cleanly. You're going to hammer. Let me paint a picture for you. This is what I want to see next weekend, because there are going to be a bunch of former Vols in the Vol walk, and I hope that I'm sure Swaney will be one of them. But there are tons of guys coming from hundreds of miles away, including Tony Robinson, who's going to be with us next week for an autograph signing deal outside of down there where the torchbearer is down there in Circle Park. I'll paint a picture for you, though, what I want to see, and I want Swain's reaction to this. I want to see about 500 former players in a perfect world over there on the sidelines, and every time a Florida guy is tackled out of bounds, like they used to do at Hawaii, Brocky, back in the day, they're over there kicking guys, stepping on fingers, intimidating people. You remember how they used to line the field at Hawaii? Swaney, can you arrange that? Can we maybe do, maybe go vigilante over there next week?
Hey, whatever it takes to beat the Gators, but I will tell you that there's more former Vols coming back for this weekend than ever before. And each former Vol, they get 2 tickets. And that's 2 free tickets. That's money that's going away from the athletic program. So I got to give a big attaboy to Dave Hart for knowing that that's more important than probably the money to get all those players back. I think it's over like 200 former Vols to be back running through the team.
I love that.
On the Vol walk.
That's great. I love that. JM, finish us up here, brother.
Well, I got to run, but just enjoying your guys' show. Let's get it done next week. It's time. We all need it so badly.
Thank you.
Just a massive game next
massive.
Week.
Massive. Even though there's no expectations. I've got no win-loss expectations. It's
for
almost
both
like
programs.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's the turning point for both teams.
It's true. Very seldom do things shake out the way you think they're going to, you know, like early in the season, you would look at that game and go, boy, that could be a real turning point game, but that really could. Tennessee wins next week. You're looking at possibly 7 wins this year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You lose that game.
You'll be
See,
lucky
he
to
thinks
get,
we're a lead pipe system to make
to
a bowl game. You're lucky to get to a bowl, right? You lose next week. You're lucky to get to a bowl game, right, Brock?
It'll be tough.
Don't you agree with that, Swain? You almost got to get next week's game, don't you?
I mean, you look at the games that you're not expected to win, and you have to win one of those games. Look at Ole Miss. You look at Mizzou. You know, you look at Florida. You look at Alabama. You look at South Carolina, and you have a perfect opportunity to beat Florida. I mean, let's keep it real. Florida's not the same Florida team as old, and you have a perfect opportunity to beat an offense that's nowhere close to Georgia's offense and a defense that got torched by Alabama, but hey, Alabama has the best receiver in the country. So you have some opportunities. It's going to be a different challenge for these receivers. You're not going to be running down the field three release versus zone. They're going to be up in your face. They'll challenge your manhood, and we will have to win one-on-one battles. It's going to be a different challenge for the receivers.
865-200-5402. I will give full credit to Kroom, who I thought played as a big human being today. So he gets full credit today. As we'll go back to the phones and grab another caller who will join us. And this is Don, who's up next with us. Don, you're on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Don.
I'll tell you what, I was convinced we were going to win that game once we cut it again after Worthy came back in. But
agree.
Y'all talked a lot about, and I know over the next couple hours there'll be a lot more talk, but I just want to ask all you guys a question. I want to make you general manager of an NFL team or just a college coach that can have his pick on a couple of different players. If you could choose between Cam Sutton and Vernon Hargreaves, who would you take?
I'm not paid enough attention to Hargreaves. I know that he
got smoked last week.
I know he's highly.
He got smoked.
Yeah. Hey, Sutton. It's hard to argue. Sutton's a player.
You know what I love about Sutton? When Sutton comes up, brother, you're tackled.
Yeah, yeah.
He does not play around, and he's going to knock your face off too.
I tell you what, that guy, and he don't get enough credit. I know we do, and during the broadcast, they'll talk about him a lot. But if I'm not mistaken, was he even second, third team preseason in all-SEC? I'm not sure he was.
You know, Don, when you play on a team like Tennessee, it's so hard to be recognized and noticed. But to your credit, Hargreaves gets all the credit in the world, and he played for a Florida team with a losing record last year. So go figure.
Well, another thing about Sutton is this was his 16th consecutive start. How many touchdowns has he had scored on it? Pass play.
I was going to say zero. Is that not right?
I tell you what, for some reason they targeted him a bunch today. What in the world did they?
I wasn't that smart. I was tickled.
Swainy, what were they? Swainy, what were they doing? I mean, if you were to tell somebody this is the last thing I'd do, that would be the last thing I would do.
Yeah, not smart. We've seen Cam Sutton do that twice in his career. Into a football game, going up against a quarterback that has not thrown an interception, and Hudson Mason wasn't really forced into any positions where he had to throw the football the way Georgia's been running the ball. But hey, he did it last year versus Connor Shaw entering that South Carolina game, and he did it this year versus Georgia, giving Tennessee some extra possessions. I'll take Cam Sutton over Vernon Hargreaves. He's taller, he's physical, he has that it factor. He'll come up, he'll pop you, he'll dock your damn eyes out. If you're not careful, and then he will return punts for you, and he's a leader on the team. I'll take Cam Sutton over Vernon Hargreaves. The way Vernon got torched by Amari Cooper against Alabama, it's hard for me to believe that Cam Sutton's going to give up three touchdowns versus Amari Cooper.
Well, and the difference in size, I think, is another thing. You know, you're talking about a 5'9", 5'10" guy versus 6+, whatever. I don't even know exactly Cam's height, but and this is not choosing between this player and whoever else is out there. Guys, Justin Worley's just a lot better than I think any of us ever thought. I mean, the throws he made when he came back in after that injury, this guy can throw the tater.
Well, Don, you like wrestling back in the day, and I know Swain liked wrestling back in the day, and Brocky liked wrestling back in the day. It almost looked like when he came back in with that thing on his arm, like the old loaded boot in wrestling. I mean, he had like some kind of superpowers from that arm sleeve. The ball was flying off his arm. Did you notice that, Dubsy? I mean, he was humming it when he came back into the game.
Was it that, or was it just the fact that after watching Peterman for three series, it seems like he's kind of like swinging two bats in the on-deck circle, you know?
Interesting.
Optical illusion, right, Dubsy?
Is there any truth that after the second and third quarter when we got away from what we were doing, that when we started making our comeback that Peyton was making the calls over there?
That's classic. I saw somebody on Twitter say Manning was listed as the fourth team quarterback today, so apparently there was an opportunity maybe to turn to him. But
can you imagine how hard it is for him to bite his
own? Oh, God, are you kidding? All these guys.
I mean, every time I show him on TV, you can just see the wheels in motion in his brain. Like, what are you?
Yep.
You know, I always followed him, as rich as he is and all the money he's got, and everybody kept talking about how bring Payton back for the head coach or whatever. He's probably not going to do that, but man, if we could just talk him into being offensive coordinator for a while.
Boy, I tell you,
somebody talking about Cut a while ago when we was talking about some of the play calling going to the side of the state. I wish Cut had been playing doing the play calling the day himself. I think Florida's found out who the offensive coordinator was at Duke.
Don, it's good stuff, man. Great to hear from you, brother, down there in beautiful Sweetwater, holding it down. 865-200-5402 is the number. It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
I just want to say, collectively, I thought the defense played really well. Mm-hmm. But Reeves Maben was just outstanding today, I thought. That guy's a baller, awesome. Man. He's a heck of a football
player. How about Junior's interception?
Yeah,
TK Junior.
Yeah,
what great ball skills.
Yeah.
We got some nice young players, don't we?
Yeah, you know, 82. I mean, maybe it's the number, but that friggin' Wolf, he just looks like Jason Witten out there at tight end. You know, he looks like a young Jason Witten running.
Boy, he really does.
I mean, that guy's he's a stud.
Jumps off the page at you. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. Swain's seen a little bit of everything so far in his term with us. I do want to remind you, portions of today's program, and Eric, I'm coming to you next. Portions of today's program are presented by our friends at SmartWay. Go online, gosmartway.net, check them out. SmartWay is your everything for home store where you're going to pay your way. And do it the smart way. They've got everything for your home. So I don't care what you're looking for the home, if it's furniture, appliances, electronics, if you're hunting a cell phone, even tires for your car, SmartWay offers products in a way that you've never seen offered before. It's very simple how it works. You can go in there and buy today and pay it in full and go on out the door and bang, just like you would do in a conventional place. Or you can choose 120 days, same as cash, and go that route. Pay it off within the first 120 days and be out the door, no sweat. Or choose a lease purchase rent-to-own agreement where you choose your payment amount and the frequency and change it anytime you want to. That's right. You can go to the line and change it on the fly. Like Peterman today, staring into the blitz. You can change it on the fly. SmartWay, ladies and gentlemen, the best part of all this is all on-time lease payments earn 2% in-store cash credit that can be used anytime for what you want, when you want, and that's why we say SmartWay is the everything for home. Pay your way. SmartWay to go. As we go back to the phones, and I do want to remind you that Jason Swain, you can hear his show from 7 to 10 daily on 1180 AM and also at swainevent.com. Russell Smith, you can hear him weekdays from 3 until 6 at 94.3 FM here in town and also online at Knox Talk Radio. And Jeff Brock, a longtime partner in crime of mine, who I'm very blessed to have in studio with us today, as we get ready to go back to our phones, and let's grab Eric, who's up next with us. Eric, hello and welcome.
Tone, how you doing?
Doing great, Aaron. Eric, great to hear your voice.
Hey, so it's not all bad down here in Georgia. Got to swat a few gnats. Have to deal with probably a couple of Georgia fans, but yeah, they shouldn't have much to talk about. I mean, they were 17-point favorites, right? And they barely got out of there with the win. You take away any one of a couple of plays, you know, two or three plays, and Tennessee maybe wins this thing. I love the time when back in, you know, about 10 years ago when Tennessee was perpetual double-digit underdogs and they took it on the road and beat people. You know, the one thing I can take out of this game, and it, like you were saying earlier, we don't do any moral victories, but to me what I keep seeing is the list of things that need to get fixed just gets shorter and shorter. You know what I mean?
Great way to put it. And you know what? Some of the things that are on that list will not be fixed until the offensive line's better.
Exactly right.
That's right. But they made some good adjustments. The delay runs to Hurd and the screen passes were great calls because you're counting on those guys to come rush the quarterback and rush right past Hurd because he ripped off a couple of really good ones there, and the screen pass works as well too because, you know, defensive line is expecting to run over this young bunch of freshman offensive line. They don't know nothing. Oh, okay. Oh, screen pass. Sorry. Yeah. A couple other things. I noticed on Gurley, they showed his stat, and it was like 108 yards, and this was deep into the fourth quarter. He really wasn't getting his yards. He got probably half of his yards on two runs in the fourth quarter. Did anybody else pick up on that?
Yep.
No, yeah. You're exactly yep. right.
How long was the touchdown? 51?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that they were showing the replay. He was over on the sideline stomping and cussing and everything else. The baby wants his yard. Well, baby's going to have to go out there and earn them against this defense. You're not just going to get it for free. And that's a bummer that he did it, but that's what great players do in big games. I had Tennessee down 24-20 in this one, and I guess that prediction went out the window. But I tell you what else, one more thing. Was Marquez North getting doubled this whole game? Because I had him on a milk carton somewhere in my fridge. I didn't hear from him the whole game, man. I thought maybe they were doubling him or they got in his head or something.
Swainy, what'd you see?
I was going to ask Swain, Tony, what he saw from his perspective, because they didn't go to him as often as I thought they would today.
Yeah.
What do you think, Swain?
I mean, just because I play cover too, I just think we needed a threat in the middle of the football field to kind of open things up on the outside for Marquez North. I mean, Marquez North plays one position, and that's on the outside. I think once we start to move him around, I think we'll be able to use him a little bit more. But his game will need to evolve. He needs to get better. Again, this is his second year playing the receiver position after being a running back in high school. He's no doubt our best, receiver. But once we're able to move him around, kind of like we're able to do with Pig, I think we'll be able to get him the football more. I thought we were going to give him the ball a lot in this football game. You know, first drive, he gets the ball. And he just kind of disappeared. That's on him. That's on Justin Worley. Justin Worley needs to identify that, hey, Marquez North is my best player. And, when in doubt, let me go give my best player opportunity to make a play. But because we didn't hit the middle of the football field, that safety was coming off the hash, and you really had 2-on-1.
Why don't we, let me ask you this, why don't we attack from more spots with North? What's the deal there?
Well, today it was because of that cover two, and we ran the ball effectively on the first drive, and that's why we were able to hit the seam route on the first drive, and then we kind of went away from that. When you're not running football the way you should, then it makes it hard to really play off the run and execute play action pass. But in this football game, Tony, it's because of that cover two, a safety coming over the top. In this football game against Florida, Marquez North should be targeted between 8 and 10 times. I mean, I would. You look at Mark Cooper, what he was able to do versus their best corner. I'm not saying Marquez North is anywhere close to Mark Cooper, because he's not. Cooper is the best receiver in the country, hands down. But 1-on-1 coverage, some back shoulder throws to Marquez North, some under throws to let Marquez North catch those passes over of his head. That's what he's great at. He scored a touchdown on that today. I think man-to-man coverage, Marquez North will excel more than he did today.
Hey, Jason, you won't say this. I'm going to say it. If you took Marquez North and you took him back in the spring and you put him in Alabama's offense and you put him in Amari Cooper's spot and you had Lane Kiffin working with those quarterbacks, working with him, working with the receivers coach there the full time at Alabama, and you put him in that role, he could fill that role, and you would not miss a beat if you were the Crimson Tide. That's my belief.
Mark Cooper is a lot better than Marquez North right now. He's a lot better. Now, Lane Kiffin is a damn good offensive coordinator.
You believe
Let's
it.
Just get that out there. He's a damn good offensive coordinator. But I think Amari Cooper is the best receiver in the country. Lane Kiffin has a lot of toys down there. Quarterback's playing well. It's hard for me to say that if you just plug in Marquez North in the place of Amari Cooper, that he would have the same type of production, because Amari Cooper is very, very, very special, Tony.
Okay. Well, very good. I'll sit stand corrected. Eric, anything else for us down there?
Sorry,
hey, you're fine. Hey, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. I don't care. We can go back and forth here. You don't have to agree with me. I care less.
Yeah. One more thing. And good stuff on Cooper and even the offensive coordinator who shall not be named. But I like what you said. I like what you said earlier, Tony. You said that when streaks die, things have to get killed. And, if we're playing this game in Tennessee's house this year, maybe we kill it. Okay, so fine. We move to next week. There's a streak there that needs to get killed. There's some things that need to go down the drain. there's a coach that needs to have his career pushed over the cliff there, Will Muschamp. Let's do it.
I totally agree. The way I'm going to give you a visual here, Eric, and I want you to think about this tonight. The guy is hanging from the rain gutter. He's 80 feet in the air. He's just hanging there. And our coach goes over there with the players standing one by one, and they peel a finger off one by one. In the fourth quarter, he's dangling there by his pinky.
There you go.
Yes.
Hey, you remember in, what was it? I think it was Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, where the guy's out there hanging on the rail. The thing's going out through here, and the little kid saw it off. And he's like, I made it. You know, I didn't die. And then they're sawing it off. And they're, oh, hell.
I was thinking off more of Chevy into Chase and Christmas Vacation hanging off the...
Two men enter, one man leave. Two men enter, one man leave. There you go.
That's all a great theme. Hey, thank you. I want two guys with more imagination than me, Russell and also Swainy, to build on that this week because I'm too lazy. But I'll say this to both you guys. Swain, if I make you offensive coordinator at Georgia, Chris Lowe took me on Twitter for saying this. Todd Gurley would get the ball for me 40 times today. What they're doing with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and Quavon Hicks and giving those guys, I mean, more power if you want to do that. Nick Chubb ran the ball 11 times in scrimmage today for 2.9 yards per carry. Todd Gurley averaged, and I know he had a couple long runs, but he averaged 7.4, and he's a freaking man. He finishes runs. He punishes you. Jason, help me understand that.
Two things. First thing, recruiting. If you want a stable of running backs, you got to show these recruits that they can play early.
You got to
show Nick Chubb, and you got to show Sony Michel. You got to show these guys playing early. You show Keith Marshall. You show Todd Gurley when he was a freshman. So that's why you play multiple running backs and you give other guys carries. Secondly, Todd Gurley last year, I mean, he didn't play against Tennessee because he was hurt. And that's been the question for Todd Gurley is can he play a whole entire season and not get hurt and not be injured? So that's why you've seen other guys carry the football. I'm with you. I think Todd Gurley is the best running back in the country. I'm disappointed that we gave up 200 yards, but I understand. I mean, he's a real deal. I mean, he should be in New York at the end of the year, and if he's not, then it's Bobo's fault, or he's hurt or something like that. Tennessee just couldn't allow other guys to have career days, and they didn't allow that. They just came up short in other areas, but I wouldn't give Gurley the ball 40 times because I don't think he'll finish the football season. And then secondly, how do you go out and recruit other top running backs and convince them to come when one guy's getting 40 carries?
Plus, Basilio, I think you give those other backs carries, particularly in the first three quarters, to have him fresh in the fourth. Where he busts off long runs.
I almost think the opposite. If you're going to give him 25, 30 carries a game, go ahead and feed him the ball in the second and third quarter when they went away from him. You have the game won in the fourth quarter.
That's exactly right. We didn't have an answer for him, I think is my point. Well, especially in today's game. Now, I don't know.
Opening it up and just flinging it all over the place with
what in the world
Hudson
were they
Mason
doing? That's my thing. It's like these guys sometimes
they owe a good portion of their ability to even be in that game to Georgia's stupidity.
Well, let's say one other thing here before we go back to the phones. And by the way, 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. As this is the Smart Way Dalton Bearing fifth quarter fan reaction. How great is Jalen Hurd going to be? The guy today in that game, behind that offensive line, in that football game, carried the ball 24 times for 119 yards at 5 yards a carry. That is a freaky number. That's freaky.
He's going to be what I thought he'd be. I mean, I've never had any much of a doubt in it.
I saw you in the spring of practice, and you were like, God, this guy is forget about it.
Yeah, he's a ball game player. Yeah, and he sure is.
Let's go back to the phones. He is getting better every game. It's like he's getting, I don't know. What happens, Swain? Does the game get slower to a guy like him?
It seems like it's getting slower to him. I mean, he's improving by leaps and bounds every single game. I don't know who said it, but I mean, I 100% agree. And probably the whole soft and terrible comment from the summer has been something that he's thought about every single day. And Coach Gillespie has been challenging him every single day. He is a starting running back of this football team, without a doubt. A little disappointed in Marlon Lane, but hey, Jalen Hurd is a stud. And what impressed me was his comment to the media about the fumble. Say, hey, my fault. It won't happen again. Let's move forward. And That's a mature football player, and I look forward to him kind of doing the same next week, improving. And who knows, he may get over 120. But it's going to be tough. But with Jalen Hurd, you just never know, because he is a weapon in the running game and in the screen game.
I like him in that screen game.
You better believe it, man. Amen. And they just missed that wheel route to him today. He has a touchdown.
I love the Wildcat with him, too.
Absolutely. That's another great point.
I would run that about 10 times today.
You know who he looked like back there when they gave him the ball at first was McFadden from Arkansas in the day.
Yeah, because he's a long strider, too, McFadden.
Just real comfortable. Just looked. Remember that night they wheeled that out against us? Goodness gracious.
It looks like he's just kind of jogging parallel to the line.
Yes. Not even moving.
Boom,
right.
He's around the corner in a hurry.
Mark is next with us. Mark, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark. Welcome.
I'm going to drink about two cases of beer tonight and eat about everything in the refrigerator, but disappointed.
Last Saturday night, how? Just kidding. Go ahead.
No, that's true. That's like every Saturday night around here, but we won't get into that. Jalen Hurst, what we thought he'd be, Tony.
Yeah, he's pretty special guy. He's a pretty special athlete.
Got to give a little props to Matt Darr. He was getting thrown some fiery darts at him, Tony.
Matt Darr averaged 44 yards per punt, and when he kicked that 54-yarder, I was ready to go over there and do some kind of check and see if there wasn't an imposter out there. What word did that come from? Incredible.
Man, notched up the game, Tony. I mean, he brought it, man.
I'll tell you, Brocky, make a point here about scouting and coaching. We were looking at some highlights here. Brock, go ahead.
The fake punt they ran for the TV against A&M. I mean, you could just tell that was a complete design play.
64 yards out.
Yep.
The punter ran.
Yep.
You don't see that every day, do you?
Very seldomly.
No.
Tell you what, Tony, Arkansas is going to pound some people's eyes shut, Tony.
It's interesting, their approach. Everybody else is spreading it out, and they look like they're back in, like, 1945.
Yeah.
They can pound the football. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue for them is if they get behind 10 points, what are they going to do?
Yeah, that's true. Guys, we're disappointed. We're all disappointed. But, oh, my God, how close we are. I mean, it's like, oh, man. It's like having the gold, and it's right there. You know, you could see it. You could, you know, sense it, and it's right there.
I tell you, this is.
He could play in the game next Saturday.
Swain is. It's like professorial when Swain's on here. You know, it's professorial. I mean, he's bringing so much great stuff to the table here. It's almost unfair. You know what's going to happen next week if he keeps us up? Mrs. B is going to kick me out of the studio. Swain will be hosting. I'll be calling in for 20 minutes.
Oh no, man! I'm just sitting back listening to the fans. I mean, they've been awesome. I just want to bring a little bit of knowledge from, you know, 4 years of playing in college and, you know, being a student at the game. And that's all I'm trying to bring. I'm just trying to bring quality to the show. But the show's already great, man.
Dropping the knowledge.
I don't want to sound redundant, but we got to get this Florida game. We got to win it.
There's nothing redundant about it. It's a theme. It's I think it's a priority for the coaching staff. I think it has been. I think they've told those guys behind the scenes, we are circling this date. We're circling this game. I believe they want this thing. And I think it's low-hanging fruit as well. Tennessee goes out and executes next week. No reason they won't beat Florida. And there's really no reason they can't beat them badly, if you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, how's the team going to respond? You know, they've had the underdog role for the last 2 weeks, last two games, Oklahoma and Georgia. And people are expecting Tennessee to win. So I think it's going to be a different role for this football team. I mean, everyone expects them to win because Florida's not a really great football team, and Tennessee's playing hard. They play Oklahoma and Georgia tougher than what the experts thought, especially with the spread. So I think Tennessee's in a different role this week. Hey, you're expected to win. Can you go out there and execute?
Great point.
Swain, what do you suspect the line will be early this week for that game?
I think it should be Tennessee 3-3. But, I mean, you look at the history of, you know, 2012 when Tennessee was loaded on offense with Cordell Patterson and Tyler Bray, Michael Bear, and Tennessee had the game in our hands and we just pee right down our leg. And, you know, we let Driscoll look like damn Tim Tebow, that day. And we just kind of, you know, pissed it away. I think people are going to look at that and say, hey, every time Tennessee enters the football game with a great chance to win, they somehow find a way to lose. But I think it should be 3.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, 7 or something like that.
Let's
Tony, isn't it going to be great when Muskrat completely loses it on the sideline? I mean, completely goes ballistic.
Well, you need to tell the living listener who's never heard you, Mark, what we're fixing to do to them next week in Neyland Stadium.
Tony, we're absolutely going to open up a can of whip ass on them and stomp a stinking mud hole in them and walk it dry. I'm out of here. Bye.
Thank you, Mark. Mark's going to drink a lot of beer tonight and everything in his refrigerator, and that's different from last Saturday night. How would be my question.
Just a little bit sadder tonight.
Yeah, just a little sadder, which, again, differs from back to our phone. Huh? Back, you took a shot at him. Back to our phones we go. McCall's up next with us. McCall, hello. Welcome.
Hey, you know what, man? I'll take McCall. This is a car, but you know what? McCall sounds better, Tony. I'll be McCall for you today. How you doing?
I'm all screwed up, man. What can I say?
Hey, I know how it is, man. It's because I'm black. You feel me?
Oh, Lord.
Hey, Jason, you know how it is, man. We're trying to get ahead in the world. They always trying to pull us back, bro. Oh, man. No, Tony, man, listen, I'm proud of you, bro. I've been around since the 80s, man. Listen, you've been doing your thing. I appreciate how you always let people like Jason come in and other people like Russell Dubb. Tony, hats off to you, man. You're doing a good job, bro, for real.
Hey, thanks, man. Thank you, Carl.
Real quick, let me ask you something, man. Don't you agree, and Jason, this is to you, because, Tony, I'm going to hit my shot at you. I don't know about being fast real quick. So I'm going to have to ask Jason real quick. Is there not a difference, bro, in being fast and being quick? Jalen Hurd is everything I expected him to be, but he is not quick, brother. He's fast. He got to get them legs churning. Agreed?
Yeah, that's something he'll work on during the offseason is that lateral quickness. That's something that Todd Gurley worked on. Todd Gurley was just kind of like Jalen Hurd his first year. And he's improved his lateral quickness. That's something that Jalen Hurd will need to improve on. But there's no doubt Jalen Hurd is a mid 4.4 guy, 4.5 guy, and probably even faster when he got pads on and he's in the football game. He can run away from
Tony. Tony, something you can answer, and I'll jump off and listen. Does he remind you a little bit of I hate comparing, but doesn't he have kind of that takeoff speed? Is not quite there, but once he takes off, it's there. Does he remind you of Eddie George, Tony?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Yeah.
If there's one ball player you're going to say Hurd reminds you of, it's Eddie George.
And the thing about Eddie George and Hurd is, the thing about those guys is, as Brock said earlier, when they run, it doesn't look like, here, I'll get that for you. It doesn't look like they're covering. It doesn't, grab me a root beer, if you don't mind.
Yeah, he's a gazelle.
It doesn't look like they're covering a lot of territory, right? And he's 20 yards down the field.
We notice his two and three-yard runs we get with him. They're 4 and 5 yards. I'll take them all day. Hey, great show, guys. McCall, LaCarl, let's go.
We're always trying to keep you people down like that. 865-200-5402 is our number if you want to get in with us. Swain, you know, the one thing I've noticed, too, about Josh Malone is he seems to have a similar bent to him. He doesn't look like he's moving, and he's 20 yards down the field.
Long strider, long legs. He's contributing more. We need more from him. This was a perfect opportunity for him to have a big impact, and he did on that catch and run. It was third down, caught it in front of the sticks and got the first down. But we need more of him. You know,
Von Pearson back too.
Von Pearson back. That's a big time loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you played him off their feet today without Josh Smith and Von Pearson. Hello.
Yeah, he did. Hello.
Imagine what you could have done. Back to our phones we go.
As big a loss as it is, I still say the biggest loss was Gillum. Just because, not that he was a
player,
but just the offensive line is so bad. He's a guy who was experienced, second year in the system, all that stuff.
It's a tremendous loss. And
they've been bit by the injury bug pretty bad here.
They really have been.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, let me ask you this real quick. What is it about Dontavius Blair that, is he just not have any fire to him? Does he just not have it? Is it the footwork? Is it strength? What is it?
Let's see if he gives us the whirly answer on Peterman, or if he. Let's see. Go ahead, Swainy.
Dontavius Blair just been disappointment, guys. I mean, he was out of shape when he first got here. Mentally, he's not tough enough. He's just been a bust so far right now, and. You know, this staff was put into a very tough situation, having to go out and get some offensive linemen that can contribute day one, and they went out and I thought they had a player, Dontayvis Blair, that can contribute day one, and he just hasn't been that player. I can't make any excuses for him. He's just been stinking it up, guys.
When you look right at him, does he not look like guys like he could be an absolute animal on a football field, Brock?
Yeah, he does, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's from Alabama, and I want to give him love. You know, anytime you go from the state of Alabama to Tennessee, you should get the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard to give it to Dontayvis Blair right now. I mean, he just not getting it done. He looks great, though, but you got to be able to move your feet. You got to be able to finish blocks and play with great effort and intensity, and he's just like that since he's been here.
37 past the hour. Let's go back to our busy phones and grab Magnum, who's up next with us. Magnum, hello.
Hello, guys.